You'll see that we had titled the sermon Condescending to the Promised Land. That kind of sounds crazy, doesn't it? But folks, when you stop and you think about Esther and where Brian was at last week, and we was talking about the things that match so much the world that we live in today. I mean, it's almost like this book was written about us today. It's a little bit different reading, but when you read the scripture, you see so much, folks, of the things that we do and the things that we're accepting as being normal in the world that we live in and the things that they're doing. The number one thing that we are seeing, none of us like or talk about or want our name associated with God. We don't talk about God. We don't, if we're out in public, we just come to church to talk about God. And when we're out and midst of other people, we very seldom just sit and have a conversation about the Lord, unless it's one or two and you know that they're on the same track you're on. So we're seeing that in chapter 2 this morning, that Esther's going to become queen. But folks, what we got to look at first is where Brian was at last week. And about the 16th verse, just to, if you wanted to look back, you see that they had put a order or a decree or whatever it was that the king, I don't know how Brian pronounced that, Xerxes, there you go. Xerxes. We'll call him the king. But anyway, he puts this order or decree that once that he has run, how you say that, Vashti? There you go, Vashti. Once he had caused her to leave and had divorced her, that she couldn't come back. It's what we call a restraining order. It's what we call something of that nature today, whatever you would like to call it. You have a little ruffle, and then you place orders to someone that you can't come back. You can't be around me. You can't have anything to do with me. That's just kind of a immature way of saying all of that. But if you look at that, he is beginning in chapter 2 to have remorse. Now, yesterday, we was going down the road, and a lot of times we're just hitting stations trying to see what's being played. And we hit this station, and they was going to play this song, and it's not country. They might tell you it is, but it's not. Religiously, it was the name of it, by Bailey Zimmerman. And but it was and this guy that was introducing this song as being the new song, and he said, "This is me." He said, I let my pride come in way of me having a relationship with my one and only love. And folks, this is what we do. We let our pride sometimes take over. We let things come between us and we let things happen. And we wish so many times that had not happened. But I thought that was pretty interesting when just about the time we listening to that station that it was talking about this. Because this is what the king had done. He was beginning to rethink what he had done. And then what happened? As we read the scripture, stop and think about it, because you're going to see what is happening with the king is the same thing that is happening today. Let's start with the second chapter, first verse. But after Xerxes, how'd you say it, Brian?
Xerxes'
anger had subsided, he began thinking about Vashti and what she had done and the decree he had made. So his personal attendant suggested, "Let us search the empire to find beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint agents in each province to bring the beautiful young women into the royal harem or the fortress of Susa. Haggai, the king's eunuch in charge of the harem, which that would have been like the quarters of the of his palace or temple or whatever he was living in. You will see that this will be the women's quarters. You will see that they are all given beauty treatments. And after that, the young women, the young woman who most pleases the king will be made queen instead of Vashti. The advice was very appealing to the king, so he put the plan into effect. At that time, there was a Jewish man in the fortress of Susa whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair. He was from the tribe of Benjamin and was a descendant of Kish and Shammai. His family had been among those who, with King Jehoiakim of Judah, had been expelled from Jerusalem to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. The man had a very beautiful and lovely young cousin, Hadassah. Now that's a Hebrew name for Esther, who was also called Esther. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her into his family and raised her as his own daughter. As a result of the king's decree, Esther, along with many other young women, was brought to the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care. Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. He quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. And he also assigned her 7 maids, specially chosen from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. Esther had not told anyone of her nationality and family background because Mordecai had directed her not to do so. Every day, Mordecai would take a walk near the courtyard of the harem to find out about Esther and what was happening to her. And before each young woman was taken to the king's bed, she was given the prescribed 12 months of beauty treatments, 6 months with oil and myrrh, followed by 6 months with special perfumes and ointments. And when it was time for her to go to the king's palace, she was given her choice of whatever clothing or jewelry she wanted to take from the harem. That evening, she was taken to the king's private room, and the next morning, she was brought to the second harem, where the king's wives lived. There she would be under care of, I don't know how you say that, Sassagaz, I think, and maybe, I don't know, the king's eunuch in charge of the concubines. She would never go to the king again unless he had especially enjoyed her and requested her by name. Esther was the daughter of Abihail, who was Mordecai's uncle. And Mordecai had adopted his younger cousin Esther. When it was Esther's turn to go to the king, she accepted the advice of Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem. She asked for nothing except what he suggested, and she was admired by everyone who saw her. Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal place in early winter on the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than any other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. To celebrate this occasion, he gave a great banquet in Esther's honor for all his nobles and officials, declaring a public holiday for the provinces and giving generous gifts to everyone. And read one more verse. And even after all the young women had been transferred to the second harem and Mordecai had become a palace official, Esther continued to keep her family background and nationality a secret. She was still following Mordecai's directions as she did when she lived in his home. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see what's going on here, we see that the king, he had gotten rid of Vashti because she had stood up and said, I'm not coming down and being in front of all these people at the time that you want me to. After reading some commentary on this week, it was a good possibility, and Brian may have mentioned this last week, I can't really remember, but it's a good possibility that she was with son, and she might not have been where she felt comfortable, you know, about being in front of people, but she refused. And so we know that the king says, okay, you're out of here. Basically how we'd say it today. Okay, you're out of here. And so we know that as he placed this decree that she could not come back, he could not have anything to do with her. And so then he goes and he to Greece and he starts a war. And what happens? He loses. Now he's really in bad shape because not only has he lost the only one that would have anything to do with him, but now he's lost a war. He's not near as popular as he was. And so the people that was there around him, all of his tenants, they said, we'll go and we'll search the land and we'll bring you all of these young women, all these young virgins, and we will find one that will please you. Now, folks, does that have any ringing as to what we hear and see today? To me, it does. Because so many times, young people, we marry and we're not happy and we divorce and then we try our very best to make ourselves happy and our family tries to make you happy and they try to do this and that. And what is that called? Sin. That's what it's called. You cannot sin your way to the promised land, folks. It's not going to happen. The only way that we're going to be with the Lord and be in heaven is if we follow his instructions. But it is so amazing to me, folks, that when we're sinning, when we're taking things into our own hands, when we're trying to make ourselves happy, when we're trying to do everything because, you know what? We deserve to be happy. Is that correct? We deserve to be happy no matter what that cost is. There's no reason not to be. So we'll just get a divorce and we'll find somebody that'll make me happy. And that's the way we live today. Or we don't even marry. We just live with those. And then when we get tired of that lady, or that lady gets tired of us, they move up the road. They go on. And we argue over who's going to get the car, but that's it. You know, there's nothing, no ties to anything. Folks, this is where we are today. We are sinning in the very same way that the king was. The very same way. We'll bring you 360 concubines, and out of that 360 or 500 or however how many they brought them, then through that, you'll be able to find someone that will please you. Yes, maybe. But just think, folks, at that point, it wasn't like the New Testament, but at that point, it was all fine and dandy to have these 360 concubines. But what was happening? All of these young ladies that came and they were placed into this beautification process. And as they went to the king and they slept with the king and then they were placed back as his concubine, maybe never to return to the king again. They weren't married. They didn't remarry. Most of them never married again. They never had any other life except living right there with the king. What kind of sin was all of that? I mean, mercy. Can you imagine all of that? But that's what was happening, folks. And that's basically what we're seeing today. We're seeing all kinds of people that just roam the streets to be with whoever they want to be with. We see things today that basically turn our stomachs when we think about them. of the things that's happening on the in the world around us. Folks, we see in the midst of all of this sin that's going on, we see in the midst of that, that God is working. God is not mentioned in this book. His name is not mentioned at all. But we continue to see Him at work. Do you see Him at work in your life? Do you see Him at work today in the world around you? You say, well, no, all I see is a bunch of sin going on around me. All I see is a bunch of people acting crazy around me. That's true. But I see God at work. I see God at work every day, folks. And if you look at this scripture that we just read, God is at work in Esther. Esther is one of the girls that comes to the king. One of those girls that she is beautiful. She is a gorgeous young lady. But she has a way about her that people are drawn to. You ever meet people like that? You see people that has, their disposition's just turned. I'd like to spend some time with them. I mean, I want to hang out with them, you know. And that's the way this young lady was, Esther was. She was turned that people loved her. It wasn't because of her physical beauty, but it was because of the beauty from inside. Now, she was an orphan. She was basically homeless when Mordecai got, when he adopted her. Her father and mother had died, and Mordecai took her in, and he raised her. Now, it's been argued down through the years. I've heard all kinds that he took her to begin with because he wanted her to be his wife. I truly, personally don't believe that. I believe my side of the story would be he took her because it was her his cousin, and she didn't have anyone to help and help her being brought up in the world, and he loved her, and he took her, and he raised her because of the love that he would have had for his family member, because he very generously offered her to be one of the ladies that would visit the king. Had he been wanting her for his wife, I don't think that story would have been the same. But anyway, he had taken Esther. And he had raised her. Folks, what we're seeing right here, we're seeing the king sinning in a big way. He doesn't have God in his thoughts, in his plans at all. We see people like that every day. Then we see Esther, which is of the Jewish birth. And Mordecai tells her, just don't say anything about that. Don't lie about it, but just don't mention it. Just don't talk about it. And she didn't. It wasn't a lie. It just was never brought up that she would have to say that she was of Jewish or Persian or whoever she was. It was just never talked about. And so we see that the king, had he known she was of the Jewish belief right off the very beginning, then he probably would not have chosen her as he did. Maybe if he had known her before Vashti, he would not have chosen her. But he didn't. It came at an opportune time. And who set that time in play? God. God alone. God is the one that had the opportunity to put all of this into play. God has that same thing happen in our lives, folks. God places people in our lives at a certain time for His benefit and not for ours. The king never dreamed that God was in the middle of all of this and that he was setting up the whole scene to save his people. He never dreamed that this was what was going on. God was just not telling him the whole deal. He was using the king to get to save his people through Esther. Folks, we see her character shining like new money. Her character is so wonderful because she didn't go before the king she had had the same beauty treatments that all the other ladies had had, but she didn't go before the king or the ladies saying, I'm going to be the one he picks. I'm the beautiful one here. I'm the one that's had the best treatment. I'm going to pick out the best jewelry, because they all got to pick out what they wanted to wear before the king. And she wasn't like that. She just went, being herself, with that wonderful personality that she had, because it was God shining through her. You see, we're all faced with sin. There's sin all around us every day. And you can't get away from it, folks. There's not any way that you're going to escape that. Just as the king, just as Esther was going to be part of the king, the queen. You can't escape the sin, but you can let God shine through you and overtake the sin that's around you. You can take over by being you. You can show who you are, and God will show others that he prefers to be with you versus the other. He will show people who you are. You will shine just like New Money, just like Esther did. You will shine and you will stand out, because you are God's. You know, Mordecai, he had, as I went on and read a verse or two that Brian will probably reread next week, which is good, but he went on, and as we see Mordecai, he is telling her, directing her. He is walking by the gates every day, checking on her. He's making sure that she is well taken care of, folks. You just stop and you just think about how many people in your life or in your family, you stop and think about, do you check on them every day? Do you make sure they're well taken care of? Maybe outside of your family. Do you check on these people and say, how are you doing? Is your Christian life shining through? Just think about it, because this is what Mordecai was doing. He was doing exactly what he felt he should as a parent, and he should as a Christian. He should. It's what God would have him to do. Lots and lots of stuff to learn in this scripture, folks, of Esther. There is so many stories in so many different directions that you can go. Next week, Brian will be picking up, and you will see that Mordecai sits at the gates. And, you know, that's what kind of job's that? Just sitting at the gate of this palace or this kingdom. Well, wasn't probably too lookable of a job. But it was all Mordecai desired. He was good with that. So you see, folks, he was happy with where God had placed him. He was happy with the walk that he had for that given time, as such a time as this, as we'll be coming to in the fourth chapter before long. It's for such a time as this that God has placed us where we're at today. He has given us a light to shine. He's given you the opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life, just as Mordecai did Esther's. And Esther will, her people, the Jewish people, she will make a big difference. It's just to come. It's in the future. As Brian's always saying, it to a theater near you, it's in the future. It's yet to come, but it'll happen. You'll be back next Sunday for another showing of the gospel. But that's what we're seeing, folks. We're seeing God working. I hope today, as messed up as everything is in this world, you're seeing God working in this world. You're seeing things begin to happen. And if it was me, I'd have it so messed up if I was in control, because I sure wouldn't let that happen, and I wouldn't let that go on. But God allows it to go on. God allows us as Christians to do our work each day, to do what we can each day. And as we stop and we think about how Esther came to be queen and how it being all of God's plan, you stop and you think about where we're at on Communion Sunday, folks. Of all that was happening that night at the Last Supper, you think about, why, Lord, why would you let Jesus be betrayed, especially by one of his? I mean, you know, Father, really? You go let one of these guys betray Jesus? We've been knowing, and if we'd have been sitting here like we are today, knowing what was going to happen, we'd have been questioning God, wouldn't we? We'd have been saying, what in the world, God? Why are you doing this? What kind of plan is this? How are you going to use this? You see, we can't see it. We can't tell what's going on. But that night, just as Judas betrayed Jesus, what did Jesus do? He knew it. He knew what was going to happen. But what did he do? He drank from the cup. He washed Judas's feet. He treated him just like he was one of the others, didn't he? He didn't get up and say, you get out of here right now because I'm fixing to be doing some special stuff for my disciples and you're not one of them. That's not the way he operates, folks. He loves us, and he shows that love to each one of us. And I hope today, as he shows that love to each one of us, that we hear that love, we see that love, and we accept that love. Because there's so many people sitting in church, folks, each and every Sunday morning that they don't see it. They don't get it. They just come to be a part of just church because that's what they're required to do. You know, Jesus told that lady at the well, he said, if you'll drink, let me give you water. Let me give you water. You'll never be thirsty again. So many times, folks, throughout the week, do you draw water from Jesus' well or do you draw water from your well and drink it? We draw it from our own well and we stay thirsty constantly. So many times, folks, we need to be drawing from Jesus' well. The well of forgiveness. The well of salvation. That well of him loving you like no other person ever will love you. He'll provide that water that you will need. That thirst will be quenched as it only can happen through Jesus Christ. So you see, folks, as we read about Esther and we read about the king and all of the sin that he had going on and living in the world, he was just living in the world. That's what a lot of people are doing around us, living in the world that we're in. It's happening all around us every day. A lot of it's just real close to home. But folks, we have that opportunity to drink from Jesus' water, not from our own. I hope today as we come to the table, Brian, if you would come and help me. I hope today as we come to the table that we know and realize the fact that Jesus, he broke that bread. He had his body that night there as they were at the table. And that bread, go ahead, brother, I'll let you break it. That bread that he broke that night, that was his body, folks. His body given for you. Body given for you. He said, as often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. And that night, likewise, he took that cup and he told them, he said, there's a cup of wine that did it. And he shared it. He passed it around to everyone. And he said, this is the new covenant between me and God and my family, my people. The new covenant. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come, we thank you, we praise you so much for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the special occasion that we celebrate once a month of the breaking of the body and the blood. Father, you're so good to us. And Lord Jesus, you were so loving as you knew the service that you were providing for the Father, but you knew the love that you were showing for us. We thank you so much for that love. Thank you for covering my sin debt, for covering each one's sin debt. I thank you. I praise you. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you use this bread and use this wine for the body and the blood of Christ today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Has everybody got a cup?
Everybody got a cup. Anybody need a cup? Okay.
Let's partake together, church. Mike, the body of Christ broken for you. Blood of Christ shed for you.
Praise be to God.
Church, the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ broken for you, Brian. The blood of Christ shed for you, Brian.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. If you would, everyone's through, let's stand and let's do the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.